If you don't follow my God, then you will go to hell. My God only will take you to heaven, because Gurudev has an influence around the world, so maybe he can influence the Colombian government. You know, inside every culprit, there is a victim crying for help. We must know that. Every culture is unique and every culture must be preserved.
Gurudev, first of all, let me say what a privilege it is for me to get an extended audience with you, sir. Thank you so much for that. So, sir, I would like to discuss a number of topics. Firstly, what's the purpose of life? We come from matter, we're going back into matter. The calcium in our bones, the iron in our blood, it comes from a star which died before the sun. It's a material world, in a universe that we inhabit. What is the purpose of whatever we do?
Yes. You know, we are made up of both matter and spirit. Our body is made up of amino acid, carbohydrate, protein, all this. And it goes back to that. But the life force in you that recognizes, enjoys the whole universe, what is that made up of? We never take time to look at it. What is our spirit? What is life? You know, study of life is what is spirituality is. Then you'll find out that this energy, that life, is eternal. Like today we find the bones of dinosaurs which were there for millions of years. Yesterday I was near the Narmada, source of river Narmada. They said there dinosaur bones were found in that area. So two things seems to be very permanent. One is our bones, the most concrete, and the most subtle is our consciousness. That's also ancient. And there are so many evidences to prove that our mind or consciousness is so ancient. And learning about it, what is the spirit made up of? Integrity, honesty, misery, and joy, love, compassion, beauty, thrill, suspense, all these form part of our spirit, consciousness.
You described a whole list of emotions. There are certain scientists who would say that emotions are a bunch of chemical reactions. There's no shortage of naive scientists. So where do emotions come from, sir?
No doubt, they have connection to... See, body, mind are very intimately connected. They're connected, no doubt. Who says no? But today scientists do say brain is different from consciousness. There is study of consciousness in the scientific community throughout the world. And it's most amazing. Yeah.
So consciousness is something that science doesn't have a definition for. It's something that is definitely there in quantum physics, because consciousness seems to be a part of that. And there is the study of consciousness in neuroscience and all that. But science does not have a clear definition of the term itself. So what?
Because science is still exploring, still wanting to find what is. But, you know, our ancient system has already recognized that. It said it's not even mind, it's not even intellect, it's not even memory. Consciousness is different from all that. It's like a space, it's like a field. That's what, the yogic sciences say. So, and how do you get access to it when when the thought constraints in the mind calms down, quietens down? Then you get a glimpse of the light or the energy that you are. You see, there is energy that we are all emitting, correct? There's bioenergy. And very little has been done to study on this energy now. And each one of our energy is different. For example, your thumb impression is, it's the same thumb everybody had, but you are very, very specific, your thumb impressions are. That's how you can open your phone, you can open your computer, facial recognition. That again shows that there is uniqueness in creation. And this uniqueness is because of the consciousness.
So we all have a consciousness. Is it the same consciousness? Are these different consciousnesses? Where does it all spring from?
Consciousness is like the field of energy.
consciousness field theory.
See, now the radio waves are there.
Yes.
Radio waves are the same, yet radio waves are different. You will see each channel, you know, those who are broadcasting. We have 1,000 channels. Each one of them are different. Yet in one way, all radio waves are same.
Yes.
On another side, the frequencies are different. Similarly, you know, there is something that is very common between all of us, and there is something very, very unique to each one of us.
Right, sir. So, in your opinion, what are the major challenges humanity is facing today?
Today, post-pandemic, the issue is aggression and depression. At the drop of the hat, people are getting so aggressive for no reason. Or what they perceive to be a reason is very superficial. On the other side, depression and suicidal tendencies are rising. Every 40 seconds, one human being is taking his or her life away on this planet. And it has never been like that before. So, I mean, the world over, the talk is mental health issue.
Yes.
Can you imagine a country like Germany has 35% of mental health issue? I mean, one in every 3 persons you meet, they have a mental issue. And see the violence in America.
Yes.
It's not even halfway through the year, just 6 months over. There has been more than 800 shootings.
Mass shootings.
So you wonder, where are we going? Are we heading towards a barbaric age where people used to kill each other? Or are we in a civilized world? So sanity is missing. And for sanity, one has to work on oneself.
So what is the cause of these issues in certain societies? Why is there so much violence, which is inherent, supposedly, apparently?
I don't think any baby has come into this planet being violent.
Yes, indeed.
Everyone has come into this planet as a bubbling bundle of joy.
Absolutely.
So due to stress and lack of proper education, I would say proper education.
Proper.
The education to manage oneself and to be more conscious, to be caring and compassionate, that thing is missing, don't you think so?
Absolutely.
Education in values are missing. And even if they know intellectually, yeah, I shouldn't lose my temper, nobody has given them tools and techniques how to calm down. See, you can't just tell someone something and they are unable to do it, and you don't give them any tools. You know, you can't tell them, someone, you go there 100 kilometers and don't give them any vehicle. They can't. They can never reach there, though they want to reach some point, some place. But you need means to do that. That is where breathing exercises, pranayama, meditation, they come in hand. They come handy. When they do these exercises, you know, people are able to manage their emotions well, get themselves more centered, and that's how. Today it's quite popular. Breathing exercises have become very popular in the world.
Right. We are in the iconic international ashram of yours, sir, which is something that you have essentially built over the past 40 years on your own, essentially with your own hands, literally or figuratively. Could you tell a little bit about the story of this great institution you built, sir?
Yeah, it's 42 years back when the Chief Justice of Supreme Court at that time, Justice Bhagwati, P.N. Bhagwati, and then V.R. Krishnaya, there are two Justice of Supreme Court. One was a total believer, the other was a complete atheist. They both had come to me, and then I used to teach meditation from my very young age. So they both came and they meditated, and they said, Gurudev, you have such a beautiful picture, it needs a frame.
Okay.
And so we will form an organization. I was not for making any organization at that time. I was just traveling and teaching. I was going into rural areas, everywhere. Then they both said, no, you need a framework and we will be the trustee for it. So they became the founder trustees of the organization.
I see.
And then we gave the name Art of Living at that time. Those days, meditation, yoga was not the mainstream language. Not just here in India, everywhere in the world. So people would understand more if it's an art of living, how to manage the mind, how to manage oneself, how to get out of prejudice of all sorts.
Yes.
So then it started word by word of mouth only in the beginning. And then I trained, I thought alone me doing how many people I can reach, and I had to train young people. So I trained many teachers, instructors. And that grew very big in the world. Today we have grown as one of the biggest volunteer-based organization. So it has helped people all over, in all the six continents.
I hear that you also have programs in prisons in the US?
Yes, prisons all over the world.
All over the world.
So far about nearly 900,000 prisoners have done the program, even maybe more. And that's a number from a couple of years back. But now, it's an ongoing program in the prisons. Also, we have done program for war veterans in US.
I see. PTSD is the
first. PTSD is a big issue,
isn't it? It is, yes.
And when the veterans came back to US, they had no life because they had this moral wound in them. They went to all psychologists, they went to all sorts of therapies. Nothing seemed to be working for them. And their families were distraught because they would see their son or their husband hiding in their basement, would not even come and meet their own kids.
Mm.
And those situations, we gave them Sudarshan Kriya, sky breathing programs. That made a big difference. And then we call this Welcome Home Troops program, and we have reached out about 8,000 war veterans.
I see.
In the past few years. And I got so many letters from the mothers and wives and the families of these people, where they thank you for giving me back my son, making our family come back again. Now we are celebrating. In 3 days' time, you know, they were able to get over all the PTSD.
That's amazing.
So one gentleman made a film on this called Almost Sunrise. It's a real story.
Mm-hmm.
He made a little film depicting how the person's life was before and after doing the breathing exercise, how much transformation has happened.
I see.
And it was shown all over. And I was told there was not one wet eye, a dry eye when they walked out of that movie. Yeah.
I see. So, sir, what is Sudarshan Kriya? And why does it change so many lives?
Well, it's a gift to mankind, I would say. And we have been a vehicle to bring that to people. Sudarshan Kriya is finding the rhythm, bringing a harmony between different rhythms in your own system. See, there is a rhythm in nature, right? Seasons come, now it's summer, then autumn will come, then winter will come. So there is a rhythm in the nature. Similarly, there is a rhythm in your body. Your sleep cycles are there, your hunger cycles, and your body needs certain things at certain times. There is a rhythm in the body. Similarly, there is a rhythm in your thought patterns also. You have a pattern there. And also emotions. And there is a basic biorhythm deep within you, human rhythm. What the Kriya does is through the breath and through the meditative techniques, it brings a harmony between all these different rhythms. So the result is your body becomes better. Your immune system gets a big booster. And then your body becomes really much, much better, stronger. Second is your mind becomes free from confusion, becomes calmer, and your intellect becomes very sharp. Your perception, your observation, and also your expression gets improved in a great deal. And then you find from inside there is a nice energy, feeling of, you know, well-being, nice energy, happiness.
Can't stop smiling.
That's why we call this program Happiness Course from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Because anyone who does it, just those 4 days of time, there is no chance for them to go leave the program with being not happy. So they go with a smiling face. This is for sure.
Sir, you have been involved in many conflict resolution initiatives, which is something most people may not know about. There is Colombia, there is Sri Lanka, you have been involved in Kashmir and other places as well. One of the most interesting things for me, I study geopolitics, is that you were instrumental in a certain way in bringing the end to the Colombian conflict with FARC, which is a conflict that was going on for decades. Could you please speak a little bit about that, your involvement in that?
You know, our volunteers were working with the displaced people in Colombia. There were 20 million people who were displaced.
20 million, wow.
So they have been working with them and giving them solace and helping them to get over traumas and all that. For that, the president of Colombia, they gave me the highest civilian award.
I see.
So in the award ceremony, when I went to receive it, there is a formal handshake with the president. It supposed to last for 5 minutes, but we sat for about 55 minutes. And then he said, look, there is only military option left, because these people have not relented to anything. The European trade, Norwegian trade, European Parliament tried, Norwegian tried, America has tried all sorts of mediation. That hasn't worked. So we can't live like this, you know. Every day they are bringing down the telephone towers. Every day they are bringing down, they're stopping the water. What do we do with all these sort of things? So I'm going to go on a military option. But my concern is, if I go on a military option, 40,000 lives will be lost. That is very painful for me. I told you, why not I go and try, talk to them. He said, I don't think it's going to work, but anyway, any help is welcome. That's what President Santos said. So then I took a charter flight and I went to Cuba, Havana, where they were all there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. There were 14 of them. Commandos. So when I went there in the beginning, they were not interested to see me, because they said, our religion is Karl Marx, our head is Karl Marx.
Okay.
And Zindavesta is, what is that book of, that is our Bible. We'll follow, Karl Marx and that's it. We are not interested in meeting anyone spiritual. So that evening I had a talk at the University of Havana, and I also conducted a meditation. So they sent someone to check me out. So those people who came to check me out, they gave them a good report, it looks like.
Okay.
They said, it looks good, you should meet with them. Because Gurudev has an influence around the world, so maybe he can influence the Colombian government. So they wanted to come and meet with me. I said, I invited them to the hotel where I was. They came. Their intention was to gain international support for them, and asking me to go and tell the Colombian government stop atrocities against them.
Okay.
That was their request.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to make the last story short, so in 3 days they sat with me, meditated, and we spoke. I told them, yes, I understand you're also victims. You're not enjoying your life in the forest. You're leaving your family out there in the city, I understand, but the way you have chosen of violence, I don't approve of. Is it? I am for social justice. We do a lot of work on social justice around the world. If you drop that and adopt the non-violence as your method, I'm with you. Then, you know, on the third day they came with me, they said, we will from now on take the Gandhian principle of non-violence. They came, they agreed to peace talks, agreed to sign, stop violence. In the beginning, neither the government of Colombia nor the journalists were ready to believe this. They thought this is some other, another gimmicks of them to buy time.
Mm-hmm.
But then I told them, give them some time, you know. You should give them little benefit of doubt. And in 1 month's time, things started moving and it got settled. Peace agreement was made.
It's incredible that you were able to get through to a bunch of people who essentially believed in violence only.
You know, inside every culprit, there is a victim crying for help. We must know that. See, in Denmark, we have been working with the gang members.
I see.
So, about 6,000 gang members we had touched upon last 7 years or so. I went to, last September, I went to Denmark to address them. They were so transformed.
I see.
And then the parliament of Denmark, they organized the mental health conference, asked me to come and address them. And everybody was surprised how in short period of time, these men who are moving around with guns and have shot many people have come into, reconciliation and peace to do, you know, constructive social work. That was a... And then now the government has asked us to work in all their prisons in Denmark.
Right, so you have been involved in lots of conflict resolution activities. Kashmir, like I said, even Ayodhya, you were part of the mediation. How do you manage to get people with such different perspectives together and make them see common ground?
See, when you are not prejudiced, when you have a sense of belongingness with everybody, when you have better understanding of people in whatever philosophy or whatever ideology they follow, then automatically there is trust, you know.
Right.
When you are fair, people see that.
Right.
No, there is something called intuitive ability, the gut feeling, you know. They can feel in their gut, yeah, I'm sure this will be fair. So they come along.
So people want fairness over everything else.
Fairness.
Right. So our history, the history of the human species, is a history of violence. If you look at the past 10,000 years, every single major geopolitical change has happened.
Yes, only 279 years are there where there has been no war. Otherwise, there has been some small or big conflicts around the world. But also there have been people who have been continuously doing, putting their effort to bring peace.
So that it's a paradox. We are a violent species, but we also seek out peace.
Peace, yes.
So what's the way forward, sir? Because we have conflicts all over the world right now. Ukraine is happening as we speak, and there's so much more happening. What is the way forward, sir?
See, when you go out in the field, you get muddy.
Yes.
But you don't go to bed being muddy. You come back and you wash yourself.
Yes.
Correct. Like that, when there is so many... things happening in the world, conflicts do arise, especially when there is no education about peace. What else do you expect? There will be conflicts. But there has been time to time people who have brought peace, who have brought solace, who have made the war end. Otherwise, war would never have ended, you see. Every war has ended.
Every war has ended, yes. Sir, you have known many world leaders, Nelson Mandela, the Dalai Lama, various prime ministers, presidents. What, in your opinion, is the true nature of real leadership?
See, leadership, if you ask me, there could be many attributes to it. First and foremost, caring.
Okay.
The leader is not caring, only self-centered, he cannot be leader. Second thing is a leader doesn't want anything for oneself.
Okay.
He wants the larger good, good of the larger population. Third is, I always say, clarity in mind, purity in heart, and sincerity in action. This is what I know has to be, and that works.
Right. Sir, we are part of the oldest civilization that the world has known. What is it that India has to contribute to the world? Why is it important for India to keep existing and flourishing?
What do you mean, this question? It doesn't make any sense
to me.
There
are people who would not like to see India continue for long.
No, why should they don't want an ancient civilization to continue?
That's the question, why?
Yeah, they are not okay, they are not, and they must be nuts.
I agree, sir, totally agree.
You know, every civilization on the planet Earth is a global heritage. I would say even if it's a small group somewhere, even Masai Mara somewhere in Africa, they should be preserved.
Yes.
Every culture is unique and every culture must be preserved.
I could not agree more, sir.
Yes. The people who cannot tolerate diversity, they think that way.
Yes.
Diversity is what God loves. That's why didn't make only one potatoes and tell, oh, you keep eating potatoes all your life. He made so many vegetables for you to enjoy the diversity. Same with people. See, everybody's nose is different. Their eyes are different, hair colors are different, skin color is different. Harmony and diversity is something that people need to learn. And many times some people tend to propagate the philosophy, only my way is the way.
Indeed.
If you don't follow my God, then you will go to hell.
Yes.
My God only will take you to heaven.
Yes.
So that is an absurd thing. They have no idea what the nature is telling them every day. You see? This intolerance or ignorance is cause of terrorism.
Right.
And so broad-based education, spiritual education is so much needed to have a more peaceful society.
And that is something we have to offer to the world.
Yes, India can offer many things. Mainly this is education on human values. I often say, you must learn different things from different countries in the world. With Japanese, you should learn teamwork from Japanese.
Oh, yes.
No one is better in teamwork than Japanese. And in precision Germans, they are the best. Anything you do, any German technology, they'll be precise. Etiquette is from British. Mannerism, etiquette is.
The British.
British. And of course, cuisines, India. With when you marketing techniques, marketing from Americans.
The Americans, best marketers.
Best marketers.
Best salespeople.
Best. I say they can sell the moon on a new moon day. Best in marketing. You must learn marketing from America.
Right.
And from when it comes to India, it's the human values. You go to any village here. They may have just one glass of lassi, but they will share it with you,
Yes.
So the human values, that spiritual values, that is so much in this country. That need to be shared with the world. many years back, people are holding all this to themselves, like pranayama. They will not teach other. Say only, you know, it's very precious, sacred. And it's precious and sacred, it's needed by the whole humanity. Yes. You can't say, no, I won't teach it to anybody else.
Right.
That is where Art of Living created a revolution. We opened many of these Yajnapitha for women here. Women can also read, women can also do. And we started teaching Kriya everywhere in the world.
Right.
Pranayama everywhere. So that transformation is needed, and India has, see, there are seven things I would say India has that it can share with the world. One is tourism.
Tourism, absolutely.
Indian tourism is good. And then cuisines. We have so many varieties of food. And people here themselves, they don't know. There are 108 varieties of sweets in Tripura, which the rest of the India doesn't know.
Very small place. Yes.
Very small place.
Yes.
And here in Hyderabad, a sweet is made, putreklo. Have you had putreklo?
No.
It looks like a paper, rice paper.
Okay.
Whenever people come here, I give them that. You see, that's a speciality that nobody has seen.
I see.
Like in Bangalore, people don't know. In Delhi also, people don't know about that. So we have so many varieties of. We did once a program on the food, the cuisine. 5,600 types of cuisines exhibited in one place.
I see.
So that is second thing. Third is, I would say, our IT industry.
Yes, definitely.
We are knowledge-based industry management. If you see all the top companies in America, their CEOs are from here. They studied here.
Yes.
From India. Then, color, the textiles.
Textiles.
Colors and textiles. We are very good at that. And then Ayurveda.
Definitely.
Then we have yoga and spiritual practices.
Yes.
These are the things. And then jewelry. Last things.
Right.
They're very good in making jewels and arts, and so many type of handicrafts are there, which are mind-boggling, you see.
Sir, can a nation, one last question, can a nation flourish culturally and spiritually while being materially destitute?
No, they go, you see, you don't have to be materially destitute to go spiritual. They are not opposing with each other. In fact, they complement each other. In the 12th century, 13th century, when India was at its peak of spiritual wave, India was also materially prosperous.
Yes, indeed.
Columbus went to find India in those days without any social media. How did he come to know? There was even no telephone, no this thing.
He could smell the wealth.
Wealth was there.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Very blessed. Thank you.